Yesterday, the University of Indianapolis had a seminar about how cities in the middle of the country have been at the cutting edge, progressive, exciting. And they had three great mayors there. One, everybody loves Bill Hudnut, our four-term mayor, legend. But there was also two mayors that I really wanted to talk to even more than talking to Bill Hudnut. Michael Coleman is the mayor of Columbus, Ohio. He's been mayor of Columbus, Ohio for 14 years. He's in his fourth term. Columbus is about 26% African American. Michael Coleman is African American. He is right now the longest serving African American mayor of a major city. Columbus is 15th largest in the country. He's just played the national game, so you haven't seen him on the national news. But he's doing some exciting things in Columbus. Nashville was the first city that had Unigov 50 years ago this week. Carl Dean is the mayor of Nashville. They are doing some exciting, even for a white guy, they are doing some exciting things in Nashville. So when I heard about these mayors coming to town, and given that the mayor of this city doesn't want to talk to you, I figured let's give me some real mayors that could talk to our community. So you'll have the rare privilege of you'll first hear from Michael Coleman, the mayor of Columbus, Ohio, and then Carl Dean, the mayor of Nashville, Tennessee, Davidson County, the Unigov government, and then our own beloved Mayor Bill Hudnut.
It is an honor and a privilege to meet someone who is in his fourth term as mayor of the great capital city of Columbus, Ohio. Michael Coleman, it's an honor.
It's great to be here. And, I was actually born right here in Indianapolis.
Really?
That's right. I'm a Hoosier. Hoosier by birth.
We got to get you a bigger key to the city.
Yeah, that's a great idea. You know, we could do that.
Let me ask you, you all are here at the University of Indianapolis talking about the growth of Midwestern cities, and there's so many changes between education and jobs and sustainability. And one of the things I wanted our audience to maybe learn and understand is, how do mayors today have to communicate with their minority communities? How important is it to build those relationships even with people in those communities who disagree with you, who may be standing outside a city hall throwing things at you?
Well, you know, I'm the first African-American mayor in the city of Columbus. And it's something I'm very proud of, and this is now my fourth term in 14 years. And I think the key is to make sure that you engage the African-American community in everything that's a part of the city. And not everybody's going to agree. That's not going to happen. But the mere fact of engagement and investment is very important. Investment in the community is important as well. So if you can do those two things, engage the community as well as invest in the community, then you have a winning formula of success.
One of the things it looks like you're doing is trying to get more engaged in improving the public schools in Columbus. Does the mayor have control over public schools in Columbus, or are you kind of on the sidelines and trying to get more engaged?
Well, the mayor does not have control, legal control, over the school board. However, I'm using everything at my ability, the bully pulpit as well as the community, to point our schools, public school system, in the right direction. Because what I feel is that education is the next civil rights movement in America. It is unfortunate that too many of us tolerate the lack of education among poor folks, African Americans, minorities in America. We tolerate it. And I think that the way it's been working is that, unfortunately, education is such that the quality of education depends sometimes upon the income of the family or the neighborhood in which they live, and that should not be the case. And we need to figure out a way to change that.
You may be living history in the sense that you're in your fourth term, happen to be African American, you are mayor of one of the 15 largest cities in the country, and a lot of people in my listening audience, first of all, they're shocked that you're an Indianapolis native, and then secondly, that you may have the longest tenure of any African American that's been the mayor of a major city. Are you getting close to that, Mark?
Well, certainly in the state of Ohio.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think between Tom Bradley in L.A., and I don't think Mayor Stokes was a couple of terms as I remember.
Yeah, I think I'm getting there.
Do you feel that history? Or are you just doing your day-to-day job?
Well, you know, when I took this role, it wasn't to be the first African-American mayor. Mm-hmm. And if I'm remembered as the first African-American mayor, that's a great thing, but that should not be the only thing. I want to be remembered as the best mayor the city ever had. And that means working in every community and working hard to ensure that folks are lifted up everywhere, all throughout the city.
So now you say you were born in Indianapolis. What neighborhood?
You know, I was born, I left at age, when I was 2 years old.
But you know what neighborhood?
I don't remember. I do not remember.
We got to call our mayor here, get a statue or a historic sign or something.
I'll be here to unveil it.
What's the biggest challenge for Columbus, besides trying to get more people than Indianapolis?
Well, I think the biggest challenge is education. In fact, it's gotten to the point where the problems are definitely significant, and we got to address it in a very forthright manner. So, education is probably our number one issue in Columbus right now.
I'm going to go from Columbus all the way to the south because the guy over there from Nashville looks a little lonely. So I'm going to move over here to Mayor Carl Dean because I don't want somebody from the south. I don't want somebody from Nashville and somebody who is celebrating the 50th anniversary of unified government. Nashville, Davidson County was the pioneer. Carl Dean is the mayor of Nashville. First of all, have you been in the television show yet?
Actually, I was in the show. I was filmed, but I was cut out of the show.
Uh-oh.
So, no problem with that. It's a great show, and it's a great show for the city, and I think it shows Nashville in a real positive light.
In terms of 50 years of consolidated government, obviously it's work with some of the things that I'm seeing that your administration is doing, particularly in education.
Right. I think, well, the major emphasis that I'm working on is education. I think we need to be in a position where our public schools are a plus factor when it comes to young people deciding where they're going to live or business deciding where they're going to invest. That is probably our number one challenge, is getting our schools where they need to be.
In terms of something I asked Mayor Coleman, how critical is it in these great cities in the Midwest? How important is it for you to be able to, with all the changes that's going on in the city, to be able to communicate with your minority communities, not just the high and mighty, but maybe people that will stand outside the city hall and throw stuff at you? How important is it communicating with those communities and making them understand and bringing them along with the progress you're trying to do in Nashville?
Well, I think it's vital. I mean, like, one of the things that I try to do is be as accessible as I possibly can and meet with people all over the city. You know, one of the big projects we've worked on for 4 years is we're opening a new convention center. And I'm really proud of how we have worked with that project, with the hotel project that's related to it, and any other economic development deal that we've done, where we have encouraged and required as part of it disadvantaged minority-owned businesses to participate. And we've been able to meet our goals and exceed them. And I think that's important. I mean, because you want, if there's prosperity being generated, if there's opportunities being created, you want that to be spread across the community.
When you guys set up 50 years ago unified government, have you had to make major structural changes to it, or just little tweaks here and there?
I'd say tweaks here and there. I mean, the issues that come from having a unified government reemerge from time to time. We have just gone through a process where we've had discussions with the smaller cities that existed before we had the unified government about some of their powers, and we just worked out a compromise about that just last week. So some of these issues don't go away. But I think the unified government has been so critical to the success of Nashville that we need to protect it, we need to defend it, we need to celebrate it. You know, yesterday was actually the 50th birthday was yesterday. We had a big ceremony downtown, cut a cake. We're having a major celebration on Saturday. We need to honor the people who got that work done, but it's a huge part of Nashville's success. It's a more rational, efficient form of government, removes duplication. And I would say the proof it comes from the fact that Nashville, the four major cities in Tennessee, we have the lowest tax rate.
Hmm. One of the other things that I was going to ask you is, you all are dealing with mass transit, looking at expanding. You all are looking at, like, what, express buses?
We're looking at what's called bus rapid transit, which is buses traveling longer distances in a dedicated lane. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you deal with the objection of people that say, wait a minute, we expand this thing, it costs us, you know, and no transit system will pay for itself through the fare box?
Well, my position is that Nashville's going to continue to grow, and if we don't do something and don't do it now, we're going to be confronting gridlock, we're going to be confronting problems that Atlanta, for instance, went through. And we owe it to our constituents to be thinking about the future. And for Nashville, transit has got to be part of our future, and we need to start working on it right now.
It's an honor to meet you. And we'll have to tell ABC to put you back in the TV show.
It's all right. It's all right. I'm happy being the mayor of the city instead of the show.
We are here with Bill Hudnut, and my audience doesn't care right now what you think of these current issues. They want to know, how are you?
I love them. I'm fine. I'm very happy to be here. I'm very happy that we have a new president here in Rob Manuel, and I certainly do wish him well. UND has really grown. It's always good to come back, Amos, you know that. And it's always good to walk down the street and have people say hi to you. Mm. You know, like, didn't you used to be Bill Hudnut?
I'm gonna stand you up and continue to talk to you while they wire you up and get you ready in terms of to answer. What do you, because some people may not know what you do now. What do you do during the day?
I run the real estate program at the School of Continuing Studies at Georgetown University. Mm-hmm. And we have about 350 students. And they're all working during the work day, and then they come to school at night to learn practical skills. Rob Manuel was the dean of the whole school, and so he was my boss.
Uh-oh. And so now you're back here trying to boss him.
No, I'm not trying to boss him. A mayor always genuflex in front of a president.
I gotta ask you, Mayor Hudnut, all this media here was, you know, trying to hit you about history that was 40-some-odd years ago. Yeah. You're going to be talking, you know, to this audience here about cities today moving forward. Are we at a point in which any city thinking of consolidation or cities trying to amend their consolidation really needs to let voters have the final say on a referendum?
Well, I think it's pure democracy to have a referendum. We don't have too many in Indiana as time goes by. I mean, Unigov wasn't put in by a referendum. But
there was a lot of discussion in neighborhoods. The original plan might have been in secret, but there was a lot of debating going on in that year or so.
Absolutely. The same with the Dome Stadium that we built. I don't know about Lucas Oil, but certainly.
Oh, yeah, there was a lot of arguing going on.
Yeah, okay. But the more things change, the more they stay the same. I mean, the same issues are still with us. How to finance local government, how to move people around, how to promote economic development, how to promote urban revitalization and neighborhood rebuilding. They're the same issues, time after time after time, and mayor after mayor after mayor.
And I want people to know, when they go to our website, praiseindy.com, and see the picture of you and me, I'm going to look older than Mayor Hudnut is.
Well,
you're looking great.
I didn't know that we were on a website together.
Oh, in a minute we are, because I'm going to make, see, I get to make former deputy mayors do things. I'm going to make her take a picture of us. So it's recorded for posterity.
Okay, well, I'm glad to be recorded.
Mayor,
after all the hours I spent with you on the radio, it's nice to have one picture taken of us smiling at each other.
You know, some of these youngins, one of these days we'll have to tell the story about when the Baltimore TV reporter came up the back door of our station looking for you, and I said, no, he already left in the middle of all that stuff getting the Colts here.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you covering my you-know-what.
Mayor Bill Hudnut, looking great. Thanks very much.
Okay, thanks a lot. All the best to your listeners.
And after about 5 o'clock, you'll be able to see that picture of me and former Mayor Hudnut. He does look great.